produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Hello, everyone. Hello. My name is Gabedri, and I'm coming to you all the way from Bloemfontein in South Africa. You are listening to Walking Thoughts, and we're broadcasting on SKM Radio Network USA World. And my producer is Mercedes Scottu. Hey, everyone. Welcome, 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 welcome. We're going to talk about faith evidence. We know the Bible describes faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the assurance. I'm reading the ESV. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, you know the whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, it highlights and gives us an insight of those who lived and did things by faith. And, you know, this is what the Bible says. Faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And, you know, it talks about the great exploit that was done. And, you know, they're mind-blowing, from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Enoch. And my favorite verses from Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read them to you. And we're talking about faith evidence. I'm going to read those verses to you. It's from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 to 38. It says, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to fight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in desert and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. Oh, can you imagine? They closed the mouth of lions. That's my favorite line, actually. Can you imagine? The world was not worthy of these people, wandering about in desert and mountains and in dens and caves. Wow. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. You know, they enforced justice. These people conquered kingdoms. They stopped the mouth of lions, my favorite. They quenched the power of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Were made strong out of weakness. Oh my God, Hebrews chapter 11 is mind-blowing. You know, and the Bible says to us today that we live by faith and not by sight. And, you know, that's how we walk. We walk by faith, not by sight. That is what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're still talking about the evidence of faith. So these people in Hebrews chapter 11 is just the evidence of their faith. You know, And the nicest, deep thing about Hebrews chapter 11 is that some people died without actually seeing their faith materialized, come into pass, manifest, you know. They had faith until they died. And that's the evidence we're talking about. We're talking about, if you say you believe something, what's your evidence? If you say, I believe that I am going to have this, what's your evidence? Because these people had evidence to their faith. You know, one of my favorite stories is, oh God, I have so many favorite stories, but have you ever thought of Abraham? The Bible says, you know, verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, that without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You know, that's, wow. But verse 8 talks about Abraham, which is one of the things that fascinated me about his life. It says, verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Can you imagine? So yes, Abraham, God says, look, I think it's on Genesis 12. Leave your country, leave your place, and go to a place that I will show you. And Abraham just packed. He didn't know where he was going. But by faith, he left where he knew everything was, where everybody was, where his servant worked, the land he worked so long at. He knew everything. Then he just, one day God said, look, I want you to leave. And that's what Abraham did. And most of us, if God had asked us to leave now, we'd be like, "Who, God, where am I going? What am I going to do there? God, how am I going to survive? What am I going to do? God, which job am I going to do? God, which house am I going to live?" But by faith, Abraham obeyed. He heard God and he went. And that's the evidence that I want us to talk about when it comes to our faith. A lot of people always, and this topic was sparked by the service that we had on Sunday at church, and we, you know, you realize that I have faith for something, but what is my proof that I have faith? A lot of people pray, but then that's where they leave the acting. They leave it and just pray. But after I've prayed for something, then most logical thing is to act on my prayer, because I have faith that whatever it is that I've asked God for, I have received it. It is not necessarily that God grants us every prayer that we pray for, because there have been things that we've prayed for that we didn't get. And some things we are grateful we do not get. We'll be like, oh, thank you, Jesus. You didn't answer that prayer. Because if you did, it would have turned out bad. But prayer must be backed out or backed up or backed throughout by actions. You know, I mean, what's the point of praying for something and then you're not going to do anything about it? It's like somebody who prays for a job. The evidence of your faith is in, I have prayed for a job. And because I've prayed for a job, I'm trusting God and I believe in God for a job. Now the next best thing is to apply for that job. Because you can't just pray for a job and not apply for a job. I tell people this all the time. If we say we're praying for the nations, that we're praying for our city, we're trusting God that a lot of people will come to Christ. We're trusting God, you know, how in the book of Acts, the Bible says then God added, you know, we trust in God to add people to our, you know, fellowships and our ministry and our church. And we begin to pray about it. We speak about it. We trust in God about it. Then we begin to pray about it. And then I always say, but we can't end it in the praying. Because if we end it in the praying and that's where we finish it off, then there is no action, nor is there evidence to our faith. Because once we prayed and we say in Jesus' name and we say amen, so be it, we trust God, the next best thing is to go up there. Because once you pray for people to give their lives to Christ, it's like praying for your friends, but you never share the gospel with them. What proof do we have that you believed your prayer? What proof do we have that you have faith? What proof do we have that when you said amen, you believed something? Because the only proof, the only faith evidence is by acting. I always tell people, how can you trust God with giving you resources and giving you money, but you've never given God money? Like a lot of people trust, they have faith that God is their resources, but then yet they keep the little that they have. If you believe he's the provider, if you believe he's the source, if you believe that he's the one that gives to you, then what you need to do is, yes, I have this, then I will give it because I trust that my source, I trust that my provider will take care of me. I trust that God has my back. I trust that because he said, give in his word. Because he calls forth for cheerful givers, and I'm one of them, because he has called me a steward of the money that he has given unto me, because I trust him, and those that trust in him will never be put to shame, because he is the one I look up to. Then I would give, I would help the poor, then I would go out there and become what his word says. Because the only evidence that we have that he is our provider, he is the one that gives unto us, he's our source, is by giving. Unless you give, you demonstrating the evidence is that, no, I don't trust what you're saying. God, you could be saying all these things, but my actions, my living is not translating into that. And you know, when that happens, it means you have to go back to the word of God, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10 verse 17. So means I don't have enough faith to believe that what God says he is, he is. Who he says he is, he is. And what he says he will do, I believe that he will do, regardless of whatever it is that I'm going through, regardless of whatever it is that I have. So when I lack faith, when I lack the evidence of acting out my faith, when there are no evidence, where there are no fruit, then it means I have to go back to the word. It means the word of God is not rooted and established in me, because, you know, that's what Ephesians say, rooted and established. So the truth is, we need to look at our lives and see the evidence of faith. And I'm a firm believer. I always tell people all the time that there is an evidence to our salvation. A lot of people, you know, it's not just because you prayed a prayer. There are fruit to our salvation. There isn't just because I prayed. There isn't just because I stood in church. There isn't just because somebody said a few things and they moved my emotions and they touched me, that we know that we born again and we saved. There are evidence to our salvation. There, you know, we repented of our sins. We said, God, we are sinners and we need a savior. I'm bad. I'm that bad. And now, God, I need you. Please help me. And once that happens from the heart, by your own self, whether in your church, wherever it is, After that, what follows is the fruit of salvation. Nobody can truly, honestly say, oh God, I trust you. Lord, I believe in you. Lord, I call forth your name. And then there are no fruits. You know, there's an old song. I don't know if people still sing it today. But there's an old song that says, the things that I used to do, I do them no more. That's what older, you know, children of God had. They had faith. They had evidence to their salvation. So they would sing these songs to say, the things that I used to say, I don't say them no more. The places I used to go, I don't go anymore. You know, the things I used to do, I do them no more. And we're not saying nobody can fake anything, but we're just saying, once you say you're born again, once you say I'm a child of God, there has to be evidence to your professing. We don't profess and then there's nothing. We don't confess our sins and then there's nothing. We don't repent of our sins and then there's nothing. There is always some evidence to our believing and evidence to our salvation. There's always fruit to be seen. I mean, if people lived with you, and you went to church or you went to town and you met somebody preaching the gospel and you accepted it, you repented of your sins, you changed your mind, you changed your actions, and you know, you did all these things. Somebody somewhere should say, confess and testify that, oh my God, you know, he used to be like this, but he's no longer like that. He used to, you know, say this, but he's no longer like that. He's, you know, somebody somewhere should testify of your changed life. Somebody out there should testify of your changed lifestyle. Somebody out there should testify of your changed tongue. You know, your beliefs, your thinking, your saying, supposed to change somewhere down the line. When I gave my life to Christ, when I surrendered it, when I repented of my sins, when I said, God, I need you, I was in varsity. Varsity was hectic. Varsity was parties. Varsity was irresponsibility gone rampage. And when I gave my life to Christ and I surrendered it and I denied myself and I got born again, I got spirit-filled, I started reading the Word of God, I absolutely had no desire. I still don't have a desire to attend another party again. I had no desire to be seen. I had no desire to be everywhere with everyone. I absolutely had no desire for a lot of worldly things. I changed my mind about absolutely everything else that was happening on campus. All I wanted to do was study and tell everybody about Jesus. So there was evidence, there was fruit to my salvation. People that I used to hang around with, I didn't want to hang around them anymore. I changed friends. I told them about what had happened to me. Yes, they laughed it off. And some of them, I'm laughing them off today because they also gave their life to Christ. Now that was no longer, you know, funny and weird to them. And I remember some of them telling me it's a phase. And they used to say, it's a phase. You get over it. And once you get over it, friend, we'll be here waiting for you to come by. We are your friends forever. But I totally turned my back, my life around. And I turned my back to, and I couldn't even stand the things they were saying. They were not funny to me anymore. The places they went, I didn't desire them anymore. I didn't feel like I was losing out on anything. There was no FOMO. I still don't have FOMO today. I still don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. In fact, I feel like everybody else is missing out when they're not born again. I look at them and I think, oh wow, if you only knew. I'm the one that has a whole lot of compassion for those that are in the world. I don't have a remorse, not even an ounce of regret for being born again and giving my life to Christ and surrendering it. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. I don't feel like there's something I'm supposed to be doing that I'm not doing. More so those that are things that are in the world. I absolutely feel none of those things because they are fruits of salvation. There's a fruit of my changed life. There has to be. Otherwise, how else would everybody testify that, oh, wow, you born again. Oh, wow, there's a change. I came home and there had to be a change. I couldn't just say it with my mouth. They had to see it. And so why do you say you have faith? Can you say it and can we also see it? Is your faith evident for everyone else to see, you know? Because what is faith with no evidence? That's what the book of James says, right? That if what good is it if someone says he has faith but doesn't have any works, you know? So it's not that I have to work for my faith. It's not that, oh, it's law versus faith. It's not I have to work to in order to be born again. But to my faith, there has to be works. I have to pray, and there have to be works to my prayer. I have to, you know, believe God for something, and there has to be works on that belief. Otherwise, what is faith without belief? For me, it doesn't make sense. That why doesn't our faith have evidence? There has to be some evidence to our faith. You know, can we look at your life and say, wow, there's some evidence of what you believe? It's totally normal. I don't understand when somebody says, I'm called to preach the gospel, I'm going to be a missionary, I'm going to be a pastor, yet they don't study, number one, and then they don't preach. When are you going to preach? When are you going to study? When are you going to put this faith to work? Like, what's the evidence of your calling? If you say, this is what I've been called to do, when are you going to do it? You know? And you know, faith, what we must all understand, it doesn't have to have reasonable backing. You know, there are some people that they're waiting for a job, and the reasons is, okay, when I do have the job, I will do 1, 2, 3. No, it's just like somebody that feels they've been called to preach. You preach now. You don't need an audience to start, you know, preaching. Wait, you don't have to have reasons for my faith. I'm trusting God. My faith is that I have faith that one of these good days, I will get married. I don't wait until I'm married to know what a wife does. I learn now, I'm reading now, getting myself prepared, because that's what I have faith for. You have faith, then you have to, you know, act on that faith. There's no point in saying this is what I'm believing God for, but then there's no evidence to it. So when people see you acting like a wife or whatever, then for them it doesn't look, you know, like, what are you doing? That's weird. There are no reasons to our faith. That's what I'm trying to say. That you have to act it out even before the answer finds you, because that's what you believe it for. You can't prepare for it when the answer is here. No, we don't prepare for it when the answer is there. Once we pray, once we have faith for it, we start acting it out. Just because I went out and I believed God, that God, I'm praying for souls, just because, you know, there's nobody else that came, I'm doubting my prayer. No, I keep trusting. Just because nobody worthy has asked me out, I don't believe God is not answering me. No, I'm going to keep waiting for God. I'm going to stand on his word, purify as I will, and holy as I am, righteous as I am, and I will stand and wait for that worthy man. And the evidence that I have, that's what I have. And even if I keep getting contrary results where, you know, only worldly people will ask me out, or guys that are somehow in the church but are not serious are asking me, I'm not going to give up on it. So faith is made up mind and the evidence that follow it. You know, I have a made up mind that whatever I have prayed for, whatever I've asked for, whatever I'm trusting God for, it is going to come. It is going to happen. You know, in His own timing, He makes all things beautiful. That's God. So our faith is supposed to have some evidence. It's no faith with no evidence. James said it. What is faith without works? Hey, what is faith without works? I'm not going to start working out the day that, oh, wow, He's here. No, I'm not going to start, you know, learning how to be a good speaker when the speaking engagement comes. I'm already trusting God that one day somebody will invite me, and when they do invite me, I will be so ready. You have faith that it's going to happen, and then there's an evidence to my faith. So what is the evidence to what you are believing God for? What is the evidence to what you are praying for? There has to be evidence to your prayers, have to be evidence to your faith. Otherwise, faith with no evidence is no faith at all. There are situations and circumstances where you can't necessarily do anything. For example, when it comes to healing, you just wait it out. But the evidence of your healing is in your mouth when it comes to stuff that you can't necessarily act it out. It's in your mouth. You know, there's a lot of evidence in our mouth. There's a lot of evidence, and this is what I'm believing God for. There's an evidence in our actions. I'm not going to date everyone because I'm trusting God for a certain caliber of man. There's evidence to it. And so you can't just say, I prayed about it. I trust God with no action. If there is no action, the evidence will be in your mouth. So I'm going to ask this one last time before I say goodbye. What evidence is there to your faith? What evidence is there to what you believe in God for? What evidence is there to your prayers? There has to be some evidence to what you are believing God for. There has to be some evidence to your faith. Goodbye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.